it is now two very troubling stories coming out. The first is that the Nigerian military and the Nigerian government itself might be involved in some way with enabling Boko Haram as an organization, if not this particular odious episode of kidnapping all those schoolgirls.
Yeah, well, let me lay it out for your listeners. Certainly, the government, Nigerian government as a whole is not supporting Boko Haram. Boko Haram is a radical Islamist organization fighting for a crazed vision of a Sharia law state. Now, Nigeria, though, is divided. It's only a country because that was British West Africa. Mm-hmm. And the northern half of Nigeria is Muslim. The southern half is Christian and animist. And Boko Haram operates in the northern half, primarily in the northeast. The problem for us and for Nigeria is that it is one of the most corrupt countries on earth. It is not a poor country, although most of the people are poor. It has had, it's the world's, depending on how you count, the fifth or sixth largest oil producer in the world. It's had hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars over the decades go in there, and it gets stolen and stolen and stolen. And the Nigerian military is large, but incredibly corrupt. For all the tens of billions that have gone into the Nigerian military, most of it has disappeared into the pockets of the generals who, when they are not launching coups, are stealing from their own people and their own soldiers. So I, as I've said before, I would not be surprised at all if corrupt elements within the military had actually sold arms to Boko Haram. I mean, that's how bad it is, which is why people are surprised when I say, no, I do not want American special operators in there. I do not want boots on the ground. I think we've got it just right now. I think the administration this time got it right, just sending advisors for intelligence, logistics, and planning. But absolutely, there is, given how corrupt the Nigerian military has been, and how, and by the way, how nasty they've been to us, I don't want to see a single American bleed, even for those schoolgirls. It's Nigerian responsibility to rescue them. They've had the money, they've had the time, they've got the numbers, but corruption has enabled the kidnapping of those schoolgirls, and the Nigerians have to get their own house in order.
Could you compare the Nigerian military and Boko Haram with the Pakistani military and the Taliban?
Well, that's an interesting question and a good one. I would say it's not a direct comparison because there's far less sympathy for Boko Haram. And Boko Haram, these guys are just butchers. They've not only burned Christians alive in churches, but they kill a lot of innocent Muslims. These guys are bloodthirsty murderers. But nonetheless, there are some limited elements in the north within Nigerian government, in the Muslim north, that do have some sympathy with Boko Haram. Clearly, they've been tipping Boko Haram off about raids. But it's not, the difference is, I think, primarily that in Pakistan, the Inner Services Intelligence Service, the ISI, they have, that's an arm of the Pakistani government that with government approval has supported the Taliban in Afghanistan and initially supported the Taliban that ultimately turned on them. That they have, it's been official government policy to support Al-Qaeda and hide Osama bin Laden, even though we pretend it hasn't. It is not Nigerian government policy in any way to support Boko Haram.
Okay, so that's just happening within rogue elements,
right?
Of the military.
But again, the government of Nigeria is immeasurably corrupt.
Okay, well, there was an episode that didn't get a lot of attention, but the First Lady of Nigeria, her name is Patience Jonathan. Her husband's name is Goodluck
Jonathan.
She ordered some of the protest leaders to be brought to the presidential residence and interrogated. And she said that the people who are protesting the government not doing enough had, in fact, fabricated the entire episode of a kidnapping and that they themselves are Boko Haram.
Well, not every first lady, as we very well know, many a first lady around the world is a few fries short of a happy meal. But I think Patience Jonathan, the president's wife in Nigeria, is clearly trying to protect her husband's government, because the laxity of this government has really allowed these things to happen. Now, and it's sad because originally Goodluck Jonathan came in the Nigerian presidency as a reformer, and people were very hopeful, but he's done terrible things. He had a really internationally respected, basically the equivalent of a treasury secretary, and she was trying to clean things up. He fired her several months ago, and it's a kleptocracy, and when the government or the first lady makes a claim like that, she's just trying to protect her husband politically. But we know now that there was warning. There was a warning about this kidnapping, and the local security forces did nothing. I don't believe the local Nigerian forces did nothing because they were in collusion with Boko Haram. I think they did it because they were scared. I mean, the Nigerian security forces and military, they're not trained. They don't get rifle range practice. I mean, Boko Haram is much tougher than the Nigerian military is, and they were afraid of them.
How big
and then
are they?
After the kidnapping, the local people tried to rescue their own girls, right, and the military didn't help them.
How big is Boko Haram?
At least several thousand, perhaps as many as between 10 and 20,000. With guerrilla organizations such as that, you know, do you just count the hardcore guys? Do you count the sympathizers and helpers? It's certainly big enough to have done tremendous damage to Nigeria. And here's an example of how ruthless and out of control they are. Boko Haram has probably killed more people than it has members.
Wow. And their end game?
Well, they have this impossible dream of Islamist emirate. They'll be governed by Sharia law. But, I mean, these guys, they do not represent mainstream Islam by any means, but they are an Islamist movement, and they are absolute whack jobs. I describe them as Al-Qaeda's illiterate cousins. And yeah, their name means Western learning is forbidden.
Right.
Boko Haram. Means forbidden, mm-hmm, in Arabic. And they're just bloodthirsty monsters who are addicted to killing. And again, I am sorry for these schoolgirls. I genuinely am. I hope they can be rescued by Nigerians. But it took the kidnapping of these schoolgirls to get the world's attention. Boko Haram has been around for years. Again, burning Christians, locking Christians in their churches and burning them alive, slaughtering Muslims because they weren't pure enough. They've killed a lot of school children before. They massacred several months ago all the boys they could catch in a boys' school. And the world's been ignoring it. And it's been very uncomfortable for the American left because they're doing it in the name of Islam. And as you know, Islam is the one religion you can never criticize. It's okay to trash Christianity or to trash Judaism, but you cannot criticize Islam. So even if you look at the coverage of this incident, of Boko Haram, it's amazing how the coverage twists and turns and contorts to avoid addressing the basic issue that Boko Haram sees itself as an Islamist organization attempting to impose a Sharia law state on northern Nigeria.
Right. No, the video with all those girls, some of whom were Christian, some of whom were Muslim, all dressed in head to toe Islamic garb. Reading from the Quran, that says it all. So my next question, I think you anticipated, which was, how do you think this ends?
I don't know. Hopefully the girls will be rescued or freed. But it's hard to say. I mean, Boko Haram, they're just bloodthirsty. I mean, contrary to the liberal myth of all men want peace, these guys enjoy killing. They delight in torturing other human beings. I mean, we have to face the facts that not every human being is a Quaker. I mean, some of these people from the bottom of the social food chain, it's the first power they've ever had, the power of the gun to oppress, torture, murder others, to rape, kidnap, and they take full advantage of it. I mean,
a local Nigerian who said, it doesn't help that you can't own a gun in Nigeria. He said, so if you're not military, you're not allowed to own a firearm. So if you're a criminal, you have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, and well, most of the people would be too poor to own guns anyway. Again, this is an incredibly corrupt state with a real oligarchy, the kleptocracy that's stolen everything from its own people. And we only know Nigeria from the phone scammers. But the phone scammers, they're the smallest part of it. They're people desperate trying to anyway, by hook or crook, make some money. But the real thieves in Nigeria are the people that run the government and the oil industry.
Okay, Ralph Peters, quick comment on hashtag activism.
People feel good about themselves. And it draws attention to the cause, and that's nice. But, you know, hashtags are not going to free those girls. So much of left-wing activism and some right-wing activism is really about narcissism. Pardon me. People yes. making themselves feel good. They're doing something because they sent a tweet.
And my last question, I want to jump back here to the United States. A number of Hollywood celebrities are now lining up to boycott the Beverly Hills Hotel because it is owned in large part by the Sultan, Sultan of Brunei, and the government there just passed severe new restrictions on homosexuality and adultery. I believe you can be lashed if you're found to be gay. You could be stoned if you're found to be in an adulterous relationship.
Right. Well, you know, the Sultan of Brunei announced he intends to impose full Sharia law on women, on gays, and everybody else. So because it's the Beverly Hills Hotel that the Sultan owns, he also owns a Bel Air Hotel downhill or across town. And because it's in Hollywood's own backyard, this is NIMBYism, not in my backyard. So they're all protesting it. But, you know, Hollywood stars, when Alfred Hitchcock said actors are cattle, he was being kind or rude to steers, actually, because they didn't do their homework. While the Sultan of Brunei is imposing Sharia law and owns those hotels, these stars, when they travel, stay in the luxury Fairmount or the Four Seasons. Mm-hmm. Well, the Four Seasons is almost half owned by a Saudi prince. Hey, how are women's rights doing in Saudi Arabia, folks? The Fairmont hotels are almost entirely owned by Saudis and Qataris, and they're not exactly big on women's rights or gay rights. These guys don't do their homework. That said, I support the boycott because Sharia law is monstrous and vicious and cruel and savage and barbaric. Although we're not allowed to say that, of course. I mean, you know, it's amazing how the American left twists itself as though stoning women to death for adultery is okay because it's their culture.
Right.
You had the recent example of Ayman Hirsi Ali, a born Muslim who suffered horrible mutilations and torment under Islam. She speaks out against Islam's treatment of women, and she was student protesters prohibited her from speaking at Brandeis University.
Students and a handful of faculty.
Speak out about that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny, you cannot criticize Islam. Now, Islam, there are many of innocent, decent Muslims who are not a problem, who want to modernize their religion, but when we refuse to criticize the crazies and the bloodthirsty extremists within Islam...
did we lose our phone connection?
Extremists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We lost about 10 seconds of what you just said.
Yeah, well, I was just saying, look, one thing the Obama administration has to figure out and the American left has to figure out, and timid conservatives too, when we refuse to criticize the most reactionary, bloodthirsty, gruesome elements within Islam, the fanatics, when we won't criticize the fanatics, we empower the fanatics and undercut the moderate Muslims who are trying to reform their religion and bring it into the modern world. I mean, this idea that you can never criticize Islam ever for anything is absolutely nutty. I mean, these Hollywood stars, they want to boycott Israel, the only country in the Middle East where women have full legal and social and economic rights, and yet they don't say boo about the horrific conditions imposed on hundreds of millions of women in the Islamic world of greater Middle East.
Ralph, coming full circle, do you think that the State Department under Hillary Clinton made a drastic mistake by not classifying Boko Haram as a terrorist organization, even though the CIA and the Justice Department wanted it to happen?
Of course it was a mistake, but that was part and parcel with Benghazi. Remember, that debate was going on in 2011, 2012, election time. The narrative for the Obama administration was that the President Obama killed Osama bin Laden with his own bare hands, al-Qaeda was on the run, the war on terror was over. And if they had, in Hillary's view, if they had listed Boko Haram as a terrorist organization, that would have been admitting that the war on terror wasn't really over and Islamist terrorism was still a problem. And so just as they denied that Benghazi had anything to do with Islamist terrorism and tried to explain it on that video, so they didn't want to name Boko Haram. It was all politics, all politics, all about the 2012 election.
Ralph Peters, Fox News military analyst, thanks again for joining us here at Talk Radio 570 KVI.